Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Austin Peterson here with the Freedom Report podcast. You're live on Facebook, and today I've got a very special guest, someone first time in studio, but an old friend. If you've been listening to the podcast, or if you know anything about my history, then you know this lovely lady to my left, your right, on screen, is Yvette D'Entremont. And Yvette D'Entremont is a scientist. She's a research chemist. She's more of a scientist than Bill Nye, let me just say. And she's a popular science lecturer and way cooler than Bill Nye, to be honest. You guys got to stop booking Bill and start booking Yvette D'Entremont. Yvette, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. And I've met Bill Nye. I like him very much. Let's get that out of here.
I'm the one smack talking Bill Nye.
Okay,
today.
I'm not going to smack talk Bill Nye. I like him. I've seen that man untie and retie that bow tie like 6 times in 20 seconds.
But let's just hold on. I'm going to smack talk Bill Nye, but I got a question for you.
Fine.
My question is, aren't you more of a scientist than Bill Nye?
In terms
technically,
of, some people will go back and forth on now his degree is in engineering, mm-hmm. and some people will go back and forth on if engineering is science or not, because they say engineering and science are separate. I don't believe, and someone go ahead and hop on the Google machine or the Wikipedia and mm-hmm. check this out. I don't know if he actually spent time working as a scientist or not.
Right.
But I do know that I've clearly been working in the lab more recently than him.
Okay, so I'm just going to say you're more of a scientist than Bill Nye is.
But you can take her
opinions more than you would take Bill.
But you know what? Bill and I do agree on a lot of things. I think the one thing that we might not agree on Bill and I both agree that climate change is a thing. It's happening. Mm-hmm. Anthropogenic climate change,
We're going to talk about global warming later.
Don't worry. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Do me a favor, scoot up your chair a little bit more so I can get you more in the frame so that people can see your lovely face.
Try to cover my back fat. God. It's Austin.
There's no back fat back there. There's nothing back there, guys. Okay. Anyways, all right, so let's get on topic.
We're
already segueing, and I want to stick to the topic because there was a big story the other day.
If you want to stick to topic, you shouldn't have had me for a guest.
I know. I want to talk about vaccines because they're causing my autism.
We're quickly going to get, other than policy, we're going to get a science-y thing out of the way right now. You and I both agree on one thing, on a couple things. They do not cause autism.
Right.
And people should get them.
Agreed. Okay. So let's start with our agreement. Cool. All right. So here's the thing. We had a big controversy in libertarian world and Liberty Land. There's trouble in Libertopia.
There's butt hurt and there is anger. And there are angry comments section.
Oh, man. Everybody's mad. But
angry
listen,
comment
if
sections.
You guys got questions for Yvette about vaccination or anything that she says and you want to call her out, just drop your question here in the live feed and we will get to your question later on the show.
And I promise you all the things you're going to yell at me, I'm deeply hurt over.
All right, so she's not a Nazi shill, FYI. Okay, but it's just to get it started.
I haven't been paid off yet.
All right, so here's the thing. Libertarian Gary Johnson kind of flip-flopped recently on vaccination.
In 24 hours, no less.
Well, that's, you know...
24 hours? That was impressive.
And there's a backlash.
Did he hurt his back in that time? That was a lot of flipping.
Listen to this. So here's what he says. Governor Johnson has previously held a very staunchly pro-choice version when it comes to vaccines. But then the other day he said, in my opinion, this is a local issue. If it ends up to be a federal issue, I would come down on the side of science and I would probably require that vaccine. So what he's saying is that local issues should be handled locally, but if it becomes a federal issue, there should be federal legislation requiring vaccination to be mandatory. How do you feel about something when you hear something like that, just in general?
It depends on, I would say it depends on the issue. Now, what type of crisis are we having?
Right.
Now, the other thing is, part of the statement he made on that was that he'd studied the issue of vaccinations and studied herd immunity. Now, this kind of goes back to something that libertarians, I believe, hold dear,
right.
The non-aggression principle. As I like to call it, I like to make this a very user-friendly thing. Your right to swing your fist ends at my face. I like to say your right to swing your germy bullshit ends at my immune system. And I think health is a kind of, it's a bit of a public good,
right.
Especially if you're using public goods. And I know libertarians will go back and forth on if we should have public goods like schools and things. But you know what? At this point, we have public schools. So the time in life when you're getting immunized is when you're a kid, is when you're using those. So if Gary Johnson says we're, yes to mandated vaccines, I think one of the things that we're doing, especially in California, where we did see hippie liberals.
Right.
Stop vaccinating.
It's not the libertarians you got to worry about. It's the liberals who are all out there starting the measles, mumps, and rubella scare from in 2016.
Yeah, but it was also the libertarians saying in the comment section, this is medical tyranny. But, you know, it's also the...
Well, but here's a question to you. Let me ask you. When you make something mandatory like a vaccination, you're essentially saying you're taking away autonomy. And I understand that when it comes to parents and child, parents need to kind of have some sort of autonomy over their children, but you're not allowed to obviously burn your child at the stake or do something like that really, you know, kills them or endangers them. Hold on. But when it comes to vaccines, there are some people who do get harmed by vaccines. Like a very tiny, small percentage will have a negative reaction.
Extraordinarily tiny.
Same. But hold on. But you gotta. That's the thing is, we're talking about individual rights versus collective rights. So the question is there any way for people who would become
actually
ill by vaccines?
Yeah.
Right. Is it any way for them to know before they get a vaccine? Like, is there a test for people? Because here's the thing, if you are taking a risk and you're taking a risk with my life or my child's life, then and you could say, oh yeah, but it's not 100%. I mean, 1% of people are going to be harmed. I mean, are you just saying, hey, we got to break a few omelets to make some eggs, make some omelets?
First, lower than 1%. Lower than 1%.
Even still.
The
smallest minority is one person. So is one person okay to sacrifice? I mean, is what I'm asking you. Is there any way for people to know if they might have a sensitivity to a vaccine for all we know?
Well,
I'm trying to play devil's advocate.
I understand.
All right.
So let's go through a handful of the questions, because those were 17 questions at once. So let's go through them. So number one, it's not 1%. Number two, there are a few legitimate things that can cause a vaccine reaction or legitimate reasons why people shouldn't be vaccinated. Number one, if you're immunocompromised, you don't get a vaccine. And that's part, we'll get into herd immunity in a minute. But there are reactions that you can have to a vaccine. If you are allergic to a component, one thing that is a component in a vaccine is a tiny little, a couple, you know, parts per, I'm not sure what the exact component is, but there's egg in a vaccine for a protein component. And if someone has a severe egg allergy, you shouldn't, I believe.
And do doctors kind of inform people of those risks?
If you have an egg allergy, you should speak to your doctor about this before. If your child has a vaccine allergy or if you have a vaccine allergy.
Right.
Or a vaccine allergy, dear God, I have not been caffeinated today. If you have an egg allergy or an allergy to one of the very few components in a vaccine that you can have an allergy to, have a conversation with your doctor about this. I know some people who have had egg allergies and been fine with the tiny micro little amounts that are in it, but some people have had a reaction and have needed EpiPens or have pre-administered EpiPens with it, and they've been fine. There are some legitimate reactions to it, but here's what people don't understand, is that the reactions in a lot of cases come from pre-existing conditions. Like, whenever you've heard of people having seizures, or especially febrile seizures in response to it, it's because you do have an immune system reaction when you're vaccinated, because this is what a vaccine is trying to do. It's trying to make your immune system respond to a deadened strain of the virus. From the deadened strain, your immune system reacts as though it has the actual live virus. You get the antibodies, and you don't get sick to the real virus. Some people, when they have that immune system reaction, if they had a pre-existing, especially when they're a child, if they had that pre-existing tendency to have a seizure when they got a fever, they'll sit there and have these febrile seizures, and you'll find out then that this child has one of these types of seizure conditions or seizure disorders, and the parent who is unfortunately stoked by these horrible fears that's natural to have as a parent, or you read all these horrible things on the internet saying that it's
there's this hilarious Comedy Central, or like I think it's College Humor, where it's like Ask Google, and it's a real guy, and this lady goes, vaccines cause autism, and he's like, well, there's
a million
results that say it doesn't and one that says it does.
Thank you.
I knew it.
Just because I have it doesn't mean it's real.
Right. So I just lost 50 followers because they're mad at me for making fun of vaccine autism moms.
Aww.
I'm sorry. I do think you should get vaccinated. But here's the thing. I worry because we get situations like this. Rick Perry, Gardasil vaccine in Texas. Talk to me about this. Now, this was a big controversy.
And it wasn't just, Michelle Bachmann used a very ridiculous phrase for it. She said, a mom came up to me and said that her daughter got Gardasil, and she is now, and I believe she used the word retarded, which I know a lot I'm guessing your followers are like, she used the NPC word. That's great.
Yeah, my followers are not very PC, to be honest.
I've met some of them.
Yeah.
You're a highly entertaining bunch.
Be careful on side. Be
like
careful
you.
With the side, babe, okay?
But anyways, this is a... Studies have shown over and over again with the Gardasil vaccine that it's completely safe. Now, here's, I think, what's going on with why people have all these fears about Gardasil. I think it's because there's a
Gardasil is an HPV vaccine, a human papillomavirus.
For the record,
it's to protect women against an STD that could potentially become cancerous. It's very dangerous.
And men, too. And men. No,
well, if you vaccinate the women, and then it stops the transmission amongst the population.
Here's the thing. Men don't get tested, generally don't get tested. Now, I'm gonna drop some knowledge on you, and we're going to get a little comfortable with this.
All right, be careful.
We're going to a deep and dark place.
We're
going to
talk about sex.
We're going to talk about sex, baby. Okay. Let's talk about you and me. Moving on. So is it okay if I swear?
You can swear. I'll just put this on iTunes that this is an explicit podcast.
All right. So here's dropping some knowledge.
All right.
If you fucked, you probably have a strain of HPV.
Yeah, more than like 50% of the...
Oh, like 85% of people have an
active strain.
Right. But there are about 100 strains of HPV.
Right.
Only about, I believe, 6 of them cause anything. I think it's like 2 strains. And I could be wrong with the exact numbers. Feel free to fact check me and tell me that I suck at life. I believe 4 strains cause cancer, 2 strains cause warts. HPV, it's a delightful little disease.
Can you vaccinate guys? Can men get vaccinated?
Men
against
can get
their
vaccinated.
Partisan?
Now, wouldn't you, a parent who wants your child to one day date and have children?
I don't want my kids to date. That's what the parents argue. They were afraid that it was going to encourage promiscuity.
No, it's not going to. Here's the thing. Your child is not going to have more sex. They're going to have the same amount of sex they would have had otherwise. Now, I get it. You're sitting there going, you don't have kids. You don't know. I'm like, no, but I once was a kid. I know that my parents were Catholic and lied to me about how sex worked. And they told me that girls didn't like sex. And I'm like, that's bullshit.
Right, if your kids are watching, guys, you probably want to send them out of the room for this conversation. It's going to be a little blue tonight. It's Friday night, though.
Now, I also know that I really like the actor Michael Douglas. He's a good actor. He's an entertaining actor. He also got throat cancer. And you know why he got it? From eating pussy that had HPV. Now, I don't know. I don't know which pussy it was that gave him the HPV. But I know that it happened. And he said straight out loud that it was from that virus. So, gentlemen, 2 things to remember here. You can go out, and if you're above a certain age, you have to pay extra to get this, to get the vaccine. But if it's your child, you don't want your child to ever have to say the line, as much as it's kind of a humble brag. You don't want your child to ever say, I ate so much pussy, it damn near killed me.
Okay, so no more of those sound bites for the next thing that I
That's
get
Austin's
pulled
way
over.
Of saying stop.
All right, yeah, all right,
but
all right.
Anyways, here's the thing. This vaccine works. It's been all the people who are claiming these crazy things, they keep on being debunked. And these rumors go out.
But people say, I have
shaming.
A friend who had a kid get autism.
Yeah,
I mean,
have a friend with a unicorn in North Korea. Fuck you.
But come on. How can you tell? Let's say you had a mother who had a child who... What do you say to someone who you don't want to make angry, who is obviously afraid? They've had a child who has been harmed, not necessarily by a vaccine, but they attribute it to a vaccine. How would you explain it to them to make them feel comfortable with the science and to make them feel comfortable with vaccinating their child?
I'd ask them to go get their child tested for everything under the sun first. Because I even though I get it, I don't have kids, so a lot of people are angry at me for not being understanding of parents. Mm-hmm. I understand that fear. I've been through medical hell. And I mean, you know about my mm-hmm. past medical issues. It's hard when you're sick and you don't know what's going on. Like, I've been through the go organic, go non-GMO. I've been through the holy shit, everything in the environment is killing me thing. So I understand medical fear like crazy, and it's hard.
Speaking of medical fears, one of the questions that we just got, very good question from Liz Fanning Press.
Hi, Liz.
Hey, Liz. She asked if immigrants should be vaccinated. So, I mean, you believe in mandatory vaccinations anyway, right?
Yeah.
So
here's,
if they come through customs, if they're going to be, you know, coming through, they should have to get certain vaccinations?
You're going to love this answer, or you might think I'm the devil. Who knows?
The statist.
As usual. So a friend of mine works as a doctor in San Francisco, and he works in a low-income area that has a lot of immigrants. And some of them, a lot of them come in from parts of the world that still have polio. And they're sitting there, and of course, a lot of them, because they've seen the ravages of the diseases that we kind of think are gone because of, you know, because of unicorns. They are like, give me every vaccine you've got, because they've seen people that don't have use of their legs anymore from polio. They've seen diphtheria. They've seen these diseases that we just take for granted are gone. So as in terms of vaccination, give them what we give the people here. And you know what? They're going to be more likely to ask for them at this point, or they have been, according to several of my friends who are doctors. Like, if they come over here wanting a better life, they've tried to get away from the diseases that we're still that we take for granted are gone here, amongst other things.
All right, so we've got. I mean, the comments are just flying fast and furious, and people are asking us all kinds of questions,
which is good. I mean, I know people are going to disagree with me on some of the policy on this. I hope you'll be open-minded to the science.
Okay, see if you can debunk this one. One of the things that people ask, I already know the answer to this, but I want you to explain this to our readers. People say that there are aluminum and mercury, and they're unsafe ingredients that don't belong in vaccines. They sound like dangerous items. Aluminum and mercury in vaccines? What's that all about?
All right, so what's up with that is what you're saying.
Yeah. Why is there aluminum and mercury in the vaccine?
So if I told you,
I'm playing devil's advocate, just so you know, folks.
We're gonna get through both of them.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, pardon me, there was a belch right there. Well, I mean,
we're live. There's no cutting that.
Oh yeah, I'm occasionally unladylike.
Okay.
Tell
us about the aluminum.
All right. So you eat. I mean, almost 1,000 times more aluminum in an antacid tablet. It's one of the most common metals on Earth.
Mm.
So when people fearmong, and it was funny because at first people asked questions about the mercury in vaccines, and I get it. There was in most vaccines. There was a mercury-containing component called thimerosal.
Mm-hmm.
It was a preservative in multiple vaccines, and they needed that kind of preservative because otherwise a lot of the vaccines would grow mold. When they took it out of the multi-disease vaccine vials, they found that the multi-vaccine vials grew mold that made people sick. I believe it was mold that made people sick.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it back into the multi-shot ones, and they managed to take it out of everything else. The rates of autism didn't drop when they took the mercury-containing component out. The other thing is thimerosal has a form of mercury that cannot be absorbed by people. It's kind of like when people hear mercury, and then when they hear about an element that sounds scary, mercury in certain forms is obviously not good, causes poisoning, but mercury in your tuna fish sandwich, in your sushi, that I'm from LA, I kind of have an addiction, mercury in your sushi is much more dangerous to you than mercury in a vaccine because it's in a form that can be absorbed. So bioavailability, ability to absorb these chemicals into your body, is much more important than just the fact that it's there. So the mercury, not a problem, not causing autism. The other thing is that aluminum, same thing. It's something that you get in much higher doses. And whenever I hear someone say, but it's being injected, I'm like, yeah, you know, like that might mean you'll get it at a higher amount, but same thing. Aluminum is something that you get from an antacid tablet. The quantity that you're getting from your vaccine is really, really, really low. Another thing that people might be asking about is formaldehyde. You get, I believe, it's either hundreds or thousands of times more formaldehyde from a pear. People need to understand.
Breast milk contains formaldehyde.
Exactly. Things to remember. Two things. Dose makes the poison,
right.
So you're not getting a
dose. Because you can drink like gallons and gallons of water and get poisoned by dihydrogen monoxide.
6 liters of water is all it takes to kill you. Six liters, all it takes to give you
overdose on dihydrogen monoxide.
It's not the way it overdoses you is I'm just having a this is probably just the Kansas City air is killing me. I'm dying from a lack of smog right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of humidity out here
too
in the Midwest.
It's a condition where you basically dilute the salt. To a point where you're not getting enough, where your system doesn't have the right amount of electrolytes and you die, an imbalance of electrolytes and you die from that. That's how water poisons
all right.
you.
So I get it. So it's all about dosage. So some of these things
Correct.
That are in vaccines, they sound scary, but you can take some of these things in certain levels.
There's a process in your body that produces formaldehyde. You naturally
right.
have some of it in there. So I know these sound scary. The names of the chemicals being unfamiliar to you in and of itself doesn't make them scary.
Right, because you could say dihydrogen monoxide, it's terrifying, it's in everything. It's water,
yeah,
right? So
exactly.
Just because it has a scary name. And what's her name, the one food babe or whatever? She was the one who was... Don't get us started on the food babe.
She's pregnant now Mata and Hari. Has endorsed an anti-vax doc. Now here's how... This is a wonderful thing.
Hold on, let's get into the bashing afterwards. I want to stay on topic because we got to talk about the policy. Hold on, don't tap on the table.
Sorry.
All right, so I want to talk about making it mandatory from a policy perspective here, because as a libertarian, I'm kind of like,
how do we do that?
Here's my gun. I mean, come and take it. In a sense, like, I there's something that bothers me at just an innate level with somebody in a lab coat and a government like patch going, in the surgical mask.
Well,
I mean, that's the kind of like horror thing that libertarians
that would scare
have.
You.
Like, you know, it reminds me a little bit of that scene in Star Wars where like Princess Leia is like, you know. And like the droid comes in with the injector, and do you worry at all about the government turning the populations of humans into guinea pigs? Like a new vaccine comes out, and the science is effing settled, and Bill Nye goes on cable and says, get the vaccine. Doesn't that kind of like freak you out a little bit? It's one thing to say global warming is going to kill us all. It's another thing to be like, give us your kids, and we're going to put a needle in their arm.
I understand that concern. Absolutely.
Yeah, it freaks
me
out.
And it's because I understand, because I mean, I just wrote my book's coming out next year. But I mean, I wrote a couple chapters were on how we got to this current legislation on the current regulations we have on keeping drugs safe and effective. And it's the way we got there was by finding bad drugs that really fucked up people's lives. So there are really stringent regulations on testing for fetal health, on testing to make sure that they've gotten to not just safety in the population, but safety after they're being given. Regularly through the population, they're still tested and still being monitored in the population. So,
do you think that all vaccines should be mandatory, or only certain vaccines should be mandatory? If so, which ones do you think should be mandatory?
That is a really tough question.
Uh-huh.
Here's the one problem.
Because every year there's a new vaccine and it's mandatory, right? Because once you make one van mandatory, the rest of it, what's the argument? It's kind of slippery slope,
for
right?
For a new vaccine, I would give it a 5-year period before making it mandatory. Because I understand, unless there is a widespread pandemic.
Right. So at what point does this become a pandemic? That's a technical definition,
and that's,
right?
That's something I would give to the CDC, because there are people who are much more versed than me in this epidemiology. Say Ebola was ravaging the country,
Texas.
And there it's never mind Texas. I mean, if this were as widespread as it was in Africa, and Ebola had gotten to the point where it was airborne, say we had the movie Outbreak happening on the shore.
Okay.
And we and scientists, top scientists, working as fast as they can.
Top men.
It's top men.
And working
women.
On it.
And what just saying?
Right.
It's moving on.
Yeah.
It's there are sexy people and doing sexy things in you know totally unsexy outfits. They're finding the monkey and they're getting the thing and it's happening and there are lasers. It's totally happening, and they get the vaccine, but because it takes a long time to do phase 3 trials, and the way research works, and I don't think people know how the research process works. First, you go from preclinical to see if there's any efficacy for this thing, to see if it's just not harmful, if there might be efficacy. Then you go to clinical trials to see if there's efficacy. Then you go to phase 2 to make sure that it's safe and that it's efficacious. Then, when you get to phase 3, it's 3 to 10,000 people, and you study for side effects, for widespread side effects in people that are on certain types of medications. But then, when you get to the general population, it's going to go to millions and millions of people. Now, what if it's just, like, the reason that we had issues with Vioxx is because it went to less unhealthy people. When it went into the population, you had people with extra complications. When you get, with vaccines in general, they're going to all of the people, but they're not designed to treat something. The only way you see a problem with the vaccine.
All right, here's the thing. You have some libertarian instincts in you, right?
A little bit.
Right.
I see why there could be a problem with mandatory.
Right.
I get it.
Okay, so, but here's my question to you. What if someone says, I don't want to have vaccines, I don't want to vaccinate my child, should they be free to do so if they decide to go live in the woods?
If they decide to go live in the woods, yes.
Okay. Yeah. So then what we're talking about here is secession, essentially, right?
Basically.
It's
now,
like,
here's...
Kind of let the Amish go off and do what they want,
they
right?
They don't get to... Here's the thing. It means they have to check out of society, and it's because...
Sort
and
of,
it's,
it
it's
does. Yeah.
And I hate to say it this way. It's... And I mean, I hate to... I know people hate to hear the for your own good thing, but it's like... It's...
Well, for my own good, because you don't have a right. You don't have a right to spread disease. You know?
I had a coworker at my last lab job who had a heart transplant. He was on immunosuppressant medications. What, you know? Why does he have to be at higher risk if there's a global pandemic going around? Because someone around him decided they were going to believe naturalnews.com with a conspiracy theory that there were nanobites in the...
I hate conspiracy theories.
It's like why does he have to be at higher risk because he lives in LA where everybody thinks that vaccines are just a government conspiracy to kill you?
Right.
That's not fair to him. So I get it that people want to have their personal liberties respected, but I think that if you want to use public services... such as public schools,
roads.
It's roads.
You want to drive on our roads? You're gonna take this shot.
Do you want it? Do you like firemen?
Oh, don't get me started on the fire.
All right, the statist.
It's time to stop. All right, more statism on
but,
the Libertarian Republic podcast.
But
okay,
it's,
right,
you love
on.
Me. For,
I want to talk about
blinded by my science,
move,
but you hate my socialism.
I love you for your science. I hate you for your socialism. Let's move on to another subject that's a big hot topic, because one of the things that Governor Gary Johnson came out and pushed for was a carbon tax on emissions.
I was really surprised at that.
Here's the thing. I've got a friend who works in the solar industry, and she's an expert on these things.
She doesn't think it works?
She doesn't think it works. She thinks that it's too expensive a burden on companies because it would basically hinder almost all manufacturing.
I think that company... And I have a surprisingly libertarian stance on this.
Let's hear it.
You're gonna love this. Your followers are even gonna love this.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, so the ones that don't think that global warming is the thing are gonna hate this, but fuck them. I'm kidding. I love you. I want you to come over to my side. but moving on. So here's the thing. Global warming is a thing. It's happening, but we can't, like, and this is why I hate Jill Stein, is because she sounds like she has the issue right, and she's a really good progressive, and she wants global warming nipped. That's nice, Jill. You're crazy. She part of her
also
platform,
Wi-Fi gives you cancer. I think she said.
And vaccine. It's like she can't. It's funny. She's a medical doctor who thinks vaccines are.
I was gonna screen cap that. Might make him in that face.
Let's do that face together. Oh yeah. Someone's gonna.
The
scream.
Listeners can't see this, but we are making some awkward faces.
Oh, yeah.
I hope it's good for our live stream views.
Oh yeah. Someone's gonna screen cap that and be like the vaccines.
See the vaccines. This is what vaccines do to you.
Oh. I'll be like, no, that's the pot. Moving on. I mean, Austin would never. He's a serious politician.
Exactly.
Moving on. I'm a me. Moving on. So Jill Stein thinks that global warming can be nipped and we can be on all renewables by 2030. Jill Stein does not understand how the research process works, because right now we're only, by 2015, we were only using about 14% of our energy grid was powered by renewables. And this was after decades of work to get solar, and most of that was from solar, or the biggest section of the pie was from solar. This was after decades of work to get solar capture up higher. So we're making slow progress on getting renewables to be better.
But should the government take a role in kind of like forcing that change?
So I think government could do more for aiding innovation, but it's, and for possibly, I mean, there are regulations in place in other countries to prompt automakers to get their emissions down.
But don't they have like a profit motive to do that without the government incentive? Because if it's truly a more efficient source of fuel, wouldn't the big companies want to invest in that? Because they're going to have power needs 10, 20 years down the future. Don't they have an incentive to invest in more renewable energy?
Here's a good little example for
rather
you.
Than
somewhere
be forced to,
somewhere that I love to see it when the government works with private companies, because I think it's, you get the best of both worlds out of this.
Like Solyndra.
You're from are you you've heard of, you had to throw that at your people. I'm going to throw one back at you. How about DARPA? You've heard of DARPA.
Don't DARPA. I love DARPA.
You loved it. So you have to admit that you like it now. You like the robots.
But we can create robots. But, without government, who would build the robots?
But no.
The death-killing, like,
but,
machine
but you
Terminator
know what DARPA
machines.
Does? You know what DARPA did, though? And this is beautiful, and I love it.
More like DERPA.
You loved it. So, I had to. So DARPA, and they it's partially private, partially government, and they only did it for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
So they did, and DARPA is for, they started off with disaster relief. It was like, okay, we need to make a robot that we can throw as much noise and signal at and you know, noise in the air and horrible conditions at. And it has to be able to do a handful of things. It has to be able to walk through a disaster zone. It has to be able to operate tools. It has to be able to carry something. And we're going to throw all these horrible conditions at it. And watching the videos of the robot fails at DARPA, wonderful. And anyways, they share technology. They give money to companies that have, and schools and colleges to people that have the innovation and the talent to make this. And then after 3 years, the program was shut down, and they said, take all those wonderful things you learned, put them back in the private sector, and get to work.
This is kind of the, this is what Neil deGrasse Tyson argues about space. He's like, without government, we won't be able to go into space. Government has to lead the way. Yeah, private companies can come along and mine asteroids, but they only did that because of the investments in technology that the government
but
made.
It's like,
do you think that there's no profit motive? People are, by the way, on the live stream, hate us. They hate both of us right now. They don't like that I'm being so nice to you. You guys, playing devil's advocate. Give me a break here.
He's playing devil's advocate for everyone.
We've got to. You've got to think outside the head. What if you guys, we're never going to change policy, guys. We're never going to get more people to accept libertarianism if you cannot understand where somebody else is coming from. You have to put yourself in other people's shoes and consider that they might be right. You have to think that you might be wrong, or you're not a scientific thinker, right? I don't care what you say about vaccines and autism and blah, blah, blah. If you are not willing to consider someone else's point of view on something and not willing to listen to them, then you're not going to change anyone's mind.
And here's that question. Those robots that came out of DARPA that one day are going to help in a disaster zone, what if that money hadn't been funded? What if those groups, those college students that were just starting off, those college students might not have had that funding to make that giant program that needed that extra $1 million grant? They might not have had that if it hadn't been for DARPA.
The problem is that the argument with that is that if you hadn't taken the $1 million from me, the taxpayer, I could have invested that into something that I knew I needed rather than something we don't know we needed. That's the problem with government investment, is that there's no profit incentive. When there's no profit incentive, then the person isn't going to actually try and fill a need. They're just going to say, this is an idea, and here's a theory, and here's a white paper I wrote on it, give me $1 million.
Disaster relief, I don't think, should be a disaster industry. Or sorry, a profit industry.
Oh, get out of here. You're so wrong about that. And the reason why you're wrong about the disaster industry needing to be a profit industry is because when you look at the laws of supply and demand, the need, when the demand is generated and the profits go up, it actually increases the supply. So what I mean by that is if there's like a tornado or if there's a hurricane, if there's a tornado or a hurricane or whatever, then if medical kits, the cost of them is going to skyrocket. It's say there's not enough in the disaster area. Listen to me now for a minute. If there's not enough medical kits and the price goes up because there aren't enough, then what happens is that the laws of supply and demand start to work, and people who have medical kits who are farther away are now incentivized to go because they can make more money on their medical kits in the disaster area. And that's a good thing, because here's the thing, I'll pay double for a medical kit if I need to, rather than have no medical kit because the laws of supply and demand aren't allowed to work. All right, go ahead.
So are you saying that there are going to be a higher supply of disasters too?
No, what I'm saying is that no matter how many disasters there are, the laws of supply and demand will when the demand rises, the supply will react, right? So the profit motive actually incentivizes people to come in and spend more money. When Hurricane Katrina happened, the government was driving trucks all over the American South and Southeast. But when people needed generators, they came in because the price of generators skyrocketed, right? They needed electric generators. But the government accused them of price gouging because they were charging more for generators, because it suddenly became profitable for people to drive all the way from Missouri all the way down to Louisiana so that they could actually help people. Otherwise, if you stop people from raising prices on things, if you try to control that from people making money on disaster, then you would have no supplies. Does that make sense?
It makes sense on some level. But I'm going back to the DARPA thing because I still like it. But here's the thing. It's like, yeah, I look at the innovation that came out of DARPA, and I look at the innovation that comes with things like NASA, and I know it's this one makes libertarians so, and I mean, it makes
Libertarians tend to like NASA, by the way. A lot of NASA statists.
Oh, I have a friend, and I think we're mutual friends with her on Facebook, and we're not going to out her for this.
Okay.
Who worked for JPL, and she's a hardcore libertarian. Uh-huh. And it's like there was part of her that was going, it's a government job. I'm not a statist for doing this, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you're a really good scientist who's contributing to an amazing organization that's done world-changing work. And you know what? I am happy to, and I mean, I know people can sit there and say, you know, you're being forced to give your money for every taxation is theft, but you know what? I'm happy to give my whatever it is, like less than 3 cents a year to fund NASA. That's something that it's that I get it. Taxes are given at the barrel of a gun. You don't have to put the gun into my head to fund NASA. Without all the work that NASA's done, we don't have all the equipment here.
Right, but
to do this
one
podcast.
Of the arguments that people made, and this is actually a question that Lawrence Krauss asked if in the presidential debates in Las Vegas that Penn Jillette moderated, and the question was whether or not we need to spend money like on things like scientific research. And I brought up the idea that one day we might need an asteroid missile defense shield. Right, so there it's a very real possibility that we could potentially go the way of the dinosaurs. There could be an asteroid that would come towards Earth and cause a cataclysmic event. We could have a mass extinction. So if that kind of event were to come down the board, let's say we had 50 years, we calculated this asteroid is going to hit Earth. We've got a chance to stop it. You know, and everybody will say, well, the government's got to do it, right? The government's got to do it. But my question is, if there was a asteroid relief fund, would you donate to that fund if you knew that it meant survival on the planet? Do you think that you'd really need to force people, coerce people through taxation to build the asteroid missile defense treaty? Do we have to have government to build Death Stars is what I'm asking you.
Do you think there'd be some guy held up going, you're not touching my money? Like, you know there'd be that one jackass who
Right, but here's the thing. In terms of how much violence you want to do to accomplish that goal, I don't know that you're going to need to force the guys living out in the woods to contribute to the Asteroid Missile Defense Fund. I'm pretty sure that we could probably put that together.
I'm also
and if
sure
we could put together an Asteroid Missile Defense Shield, then couldn't we also build the roads? All right, we're going so long.
Let's say we're going.
We're going so long. Off the tangent. Listen, global warming. Here's the problem.
But
I don't want to believe in global warming. The reason why I don't want to believe in global warming is because I really hate bullies, and everything that I see from the climate community is bullying. Okay, I'm not a scientist, and I cannot know everything. All right,
but
here's the thing. When it comes to vaccines, like there's a lot of research online that I can use that I can independently verify. Okay, and that's been around for 100 years. But the problem with climate science is that it keeps changing, and every decade it seems like we've got a new threat. Polar ice caps are going to be melting. Polar bears are going to be gone. The whole in the ozone layer. Every 10 years we've got a new crisis, and all of a sudden, but the only thing that can solve it is more taxes, more spending, and more central economic planning.
You interrupted while I was telling the thing I was trying to
talk Okay, about. Go ahead.
All right, so part, as you're saying about all the different things that are happening, those are all part of the one big thing that the climate is changing, and the Earth temperatures are getting a little higher, and it's all part of the emissions that are coming out. However, the plan from Jill Stein to get all this under control with renewables by 2030, it's bullshit. Anytime you hear a liberal saying that they don't want to use nuclear, tell them to fuck off, because they're not interested in actual solutions. They're interested in ideologically based bullshit. There's no there's no desire to get it done. There is desire to appear green, which is nutty. So we need to consider nuclear, and money has to be poured in, hopefully from private companies, to innovate. Because right now, if we switched over to all renewables, we wouldn't have the power for you nice folks back home to listen to this podcast
live.
We're
streaming live.
Oh yeah,
in HD.
You have no idea what could happen.
That's true. So anything good happen.
I could grab one of my boobs and it would be craziness.
There'll be no boob grabbing on these podcasts.
There's a hand hover, but that's about moving on. Anyways,
all right.
So anyways, but here's the thing. We're only at 14%. For this to get better, and the only way that major changes, like from oil to renewables, things like this have happened, is with huge changes in innovation. And right now, we're working with like 1980s and 90s level technology that's just gotten tweaked a little bit. We're working with, like, we're trying to go from coal, which is the equivalent of the telegraph, up to the, we're trying to still work with a a better version of the Palm Pilot.
When it comes to nukes.
When it comes to just renewables or renewables. With energy. Like the solar cells we have now that are, you know, the mass produced ones, they're the equivalent of like the Palm Pilot. We haven't found an iPhone yet. We haven't found a game changer.
Right.
So one day when we find a way to do renewables smarter and better and in a way that actually, you know, works on a cost effective, wide scale basis, in a way that is consistent for the energy grid and makes economic sense. And this is something I know libertarians are going to love. If they can find, like, I promise you, the fucking Koch brothers will be all over it if they can make money off of solar. And they can't yet.
All right, so now let's talk, let's do promos because we're going way long. And I wanted you to get your chance to plug. So you're in town, you're giving a talk, and you've got a message you want to give to our viewers. What is it?
I hope that it's like, no matter what your political ideologies are, because I know we're going to disagree on something, I hope that you'll be open-minded to evidence that might contradict your points of view, because I've had to change my mind on things in the past.
Same here.
And it's a wonderful thing to be able to say I'm wrong.
Right, but you got a plug, don't you? Do you want to plug something?
Oh, yes. So let's see, I'm in Kansas City. I'm going to be giving a talk at Kansas City Oasis. And it's on Cybabe's 10 Rules to BS Detection.
Rules to BS Detection?
Yep, and I'll help tune up your BS detector.
Okay, so we're going to tune up your BS detectors, and where can people find out more information on that?
Let's see, it's on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Cybabe.
S-C-I-B-A-B-E, Cybabe. It's also tagged. If you're watching us on Facebook Live right now, then Cybabe is tagged in here. Now, you guys, don't send her too much hate mail, okay? Send her friendly, respectful questions.
Friendly fire. And I promise you, I'm crying tears of blood over all the people.
I've just counted. It looks like I've lost somewhere between 15 and 50 fans in there. I'm not sure. But sorry, guys. You know, this is just what it is. You don't have to agree with someone completely in order to have a civil conversation with them. And it's important to try and think outside the box.
Austin and I manage not to send each other death threats too often.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, Cybabe, Yvette Guinevere, you are amazing. And I'm so grateful for you coming in today and hopping onto this live stream and putting up with some fire from our fans. But vaccines don't cause autisms.
They do not.
They don't cause autisms, but I am definitely in the let it be voluntarily given. And
please voluntarily vaccinate
your kids. Please voluntarily vaccinate your kids. But if you don't voluntarily vaccinate your kids, you might want to go join an Amish community. You don't have to be Amish. Just freedom of religion. But just, you know, again, that violates the non-aggression principle if you believe in that. To give someone else an infectious disease. So you gotta think. Liberty means responsibility.
Exactly.
And personal responsibility. Thanks, guys. Thanks so much for watching the show today. Don't forget to go to libertyviral.com. Thanks so much, Liberty Laura, for helping share our link out there. And I'm still the editor-in-chief of the libertarianrepublic.com, which you can visit every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the libertarianrepublic.com.
That was funsicle.